The NBA season is heating up, and Kevin O'Connor and Chris Vernon have got you covered on The Mismatch. They discuss all the news, the trends, and transactions happening around the league. They also offer their on-court analysis and occasionally get into heated debates. Check out The Mismatch on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes has arrived in IMAX.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
Stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Now playing only in theaters. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Hi, guy. Monday edition. All right, guy. That single guy listening. Hi, guy. Hey, you listening. Thank you. Monday show. Jesse, take it away. I'm excited for you. Jesse is a ball of energy today, and he's actually doing good. Jesse's going to carry it. Go ahead, pal. You know what? You have the same agenda I have. You have the notes in front of you, plus your own research, which I'm sure is extensive. Where do you want to go? Anything to start with? Opening comments? You want to dig right in? I'm following your lead.
No. I want to, let's banter a little bit. People love
excited
the banter.
To be a co-host.
I want to tell you this. I would be in the exact same shoes as you had I not chugged two cups of coffee and am now sipping on an energy drink. I decided.
Not an energy drink. It's a monster.
It's a monster. It is a ultra watermelon.
I just had that first time the other day. It was fantastic.
Not too shabby. I only drink about half a can per because I find if I drink a whole can, my chest hurts. So I feel like that's not good.
That's an indictment on you, not Monster, just for the record. You know what? That's why I feel crappy today. Today was my day one. I'm documenting meals. I did my weigh-in today. 3 weeks until vacation. I've been good. I had a little protein shake, which was disgusting this morning. And then I just had a wheat wrap with some lunch meat in it, and that's it.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm up to like 700 calories. Pretty excited.
Here's the question.
If you were here in person, I'd be screaming at you for no reason.
I feel like you're going to do it anyways, just on the show. When do you go out for the Bubba Grande? For those who don't know, that is a barbecue burrito that is fried in cheese that
and
Mike sometimes likes to enjoy just on an average afternoon.
What's the calorie count on that? I'd give up a day of eating for that.
You don't need to worry about the calorie.
Do you know
you're
the
thinking
calorie
about calorie count. No, there's no way they post it, but I mean, it's at least 1,500 calories.
Okay, we're good.
Bottom line is, I started my day off a little sluggish, but I'm feeling really good about the day. There's an interesting report out from Card Letter. I think we'll get to discuss.
I'm following your lead. Literally the whole show, I'm good following today.
This is not going to be good. You know I don't do well under pressure.
You're doing great. You're already doing awesome.
We got Indy doing a little special baseball report, talking about a few cards. I am in particular interested in how, what's his name? You said El Nino in our post today.
I didn't
Indy
say that.
Indy did. That's Tatis. Is that the same person?
It's the Tatis.
Okay. Apparently he's doing very well.
We're not talking about his cards today, though.
No. But
no Tatis.
We're talking
no
baseball and... Yes,
no
you specifically said those three.
Did you watch any basketball this weekend? A lot of big playoff games.
I watched a few highlight reels because, again, unless I'm at your house, I don't have the ability to watch the game.
Fair.
I need to just go ahead and what do you watch on? ESPN, the app?
I may or may not have stolen my brother's login for TNT and ESPN.
Well,
sure.
It's rude that you haven't shared it, but whatever.
He also works for the company, so I don't want to get him fired. Like, I don't know how many people could log in.
I feel like you should probably stop talking at this point. This is probably a good time.
We don't need to cut that. All right, we're back. I forgot to plug my charger in for this Zoom audio recorder thing. I apologize to the host today, Jesse. It's my fault. My bad, Jay.
Thanks, buddy. Question for you was your take on the fact that Joker, Mr. MVP's Nuggets, went 0-4 to the Suns.
Ronick, the name of that movie is Couples Retreat. Have you not seen this? That's what we were talking about during this.
What's the point of me being the host I cannot direct the show?
You haven't seen the movie?
I have not seen that movie, no.
Dude, it's hilarious. You got to go watch Couples Retreat. Could you please watch it by the next time we record? It'd be helpful.
Please disregard the Rotten Tomatoes.
It's one of the funniest
reviews.
Movies of all time. All right, Jesse, take it away. Jesse hosting. I was Here's the deal. I'm not shocked. Jamal Murray's out. I am all in on Jamal Murray in the offseason now, by the way. Jamal Murray, I think, is going to be a good buy because I think that team is legit next year and will compete. Okay. His prices are obviously dirt cheap because of the injury. He's going to miss the start of the season, too, it sounds like. As far as Joker, people are stupid, by the way. So many idiots on Twitter and Facebook today. Like, oh, this is your MVP? MVP is a regular season award. Stop telling me Joel Embiid should have been the MVP because Joker got swept in the second round of the series in the playoffs. It has nothing to do with the other thing. Joker was and rightfully should have been the MVP of the regular season. People are just dumb. That's
well, I mean, are they upset about the fact that he got the flagrant foul 2 called on him? Is that a...
That's a weak flagrant foul 2. However, you can't wind up and whack a guy in the face. Classy Joker, though, went over, shook his hand, gave him a pat on the head before he left the game.
Oh, that's nice.
You know, they weren't winning. I mean, he's frustrated. He played very well this season, this series, too, as a matter of fact. That team is garbage. Without Jamal Murray. I mean, you take out the number 2 on that team and everybody else just really, really struggled. And rightfully so. Jamal Murray next year, if they bring back almost the entire squad, I don't know Aaron Gordon's contract situation. I would say the Nuggets are right in the hunt in the West next year, though, depending on free agent moves. So Joker long-term, I still really like. He's got some really nice low-numbered flawless autos and immaculate autos. I think are great buys. I would hold those long-term. He's going to be one of the top 10 guys in the league going forward. No question. I'm not panicking. I'm not loading up on his base stuff, but I'm not panicking about them getting swept.
I don't want to excite too many of the fans out there, but if you've got the Michael Porter Jr. Top Shot moment, it's not doing too terrible. It's okay. It's not good. It's not good. It's $11.
Yeah, he's another guy. I mean, he plays fine as a third option. He is not anywhere near being the second option. That's okay. He's not supposed to be. Jamal Murray's there. The whole team dynamic changes, so I can't be mad at him. Aaron Gordon was garbage. From the haircut, which I know we can't talk about people's haircuts. He had like cornrows. He looked like an idiot. The headband was too tight.
Too tight on the head.
Yeah, I thought Gordon would fit better with the team. He just didn't. So long-term and short-term. In the interim, right after the finals, I would be curious what Jamal Murray stuff does price-wise. I think I would start buying up his anything non-base because I'm still kind of off the base train, as many are. Mm-hmm. I like Jamal Murray. I like Joker, low-numbered stuff, long-term. He also doesn't have a ton of rookie low-numbered high-end cards. I think he's a great investment long-term. The guy's unbelievable. The other side of that coin is where it gets weird. You know, Booker has solidified himself as a legit star in the league. I mean, even before this, he was great.
He's been
but now
very well, yeah.
He's been playing lights out. And even when that flagrant foul happened, it's a small thing, but I like that he got up and went in Joker's face. As somebody on the team supposed to. You know, Jay Crowder should have gone over there and knocked Joker. He'd go over there and put a shoulder into him, do something. I like that Booker got in his face.
We don't condone violence, but whatever.
No, we do. And that, you have to stand up for your guys like that, though. And I thought Booker did a nice job. That Suns team, this is turning just a straight basketball analysis show. That Suns team is crazy balanced. A great point guard. I don't like Chris Paul, but great historically and playing great right now. Booker is just an unbelievable wing scorer at the moment. And DeAndre Ayton played really well. Of course, Joker can't play defense. So Ayton's stats to me have been a little inflated. But Ayton's played well. So
I'm curious, is this where Chris Paul's card value finally starts?
He's got to make a finals. That's another thing people were talking about. He has done this before and played really good. He's got to at least get to the finals. And at this point, the whole Nets team is injured. There's no reason the Suns can't win it all this year. Kyrie's ankle is in shambles, as it were.
Wait, you think the Nets win it all still?
No, I think the Nets are not without Kyrie. They got smoked by the Bucks the other day.
That's what I mean with Kyrie. And then,
is there any? By the way, what is the Kyrie news? Is there any breaking news on the ankle?
Sprained.
I know the X-rays were negative,
but I haven't heard anything. How long he's going to be out?
If he cannot play and Harden doesn't come back, they're not beating the Bucks without one of those two. Point being, though, the Suns, for Chris Paul to take that next step in value, he's got to win a ring. Has to happen, or at least get there, I guess. But every year he comes up short, so not always his fault. But that's why I just can't stand the Chris Paul banter either. Like, this was a good win. You beat a Denver team that without Jamal Murray is a 6-7-8 seed in the West, probably. Like, I'm not overly impressed. Beat Utah next round or beat the Clippers and go to the finals. But if you think that's going to happen, this is, again, where the straight cash home this week is more speculative than anything. If you think the Suns are going, now's the time to buy Chris Paul stuff and Devin Booker. I would load up on both of those guys. I don't love the Ayton play long term. Even in the finals run, I don't like it. But the other two, Chris Paul and Booker, for sure, I like.
I would like to go ahead and point out that I called the winner of the Sixers-Hawks game with you the other night. I almost had it exactly down to the point.
That
very
is true.
Close.
Yep.
What are your thoughts about Trae Young in Simmons' take? Do you think it was just all hot air? Now he's just he had a moment and now it's fallen off, or what? Do you think he's coming back?
Yeah, I mean, they beat the Knicks. Good win. I mean, the fact that they went to the playoffs and won a series is good. You know, at the end of the day with Trae, he's an excellent scorer. That team is obviously not anywhere near the top. I mean, they beat Philly game one. Awesome win. One more win than I thought they would have with a healthy Joel Embiid. Mm-hmm. When Embiid and Simmons are playing, though, that Atlanta team doesn't really have a chance. I mean, they shot relatively well the second half of that game we watched together, and they didn't pull. I mean, that Philly team can play. I just worry. I don't know that Embiid stays healthy. The guy hits the floor more than the basketball does. And then Simmons can't shoot free throws when it counts at the end of a game. But if they're playing the Bucks, it's a different animal. Brooklyn was the team to me out east that it was like, man, if they're healthy, Durant value is going to skyrocket. Harden's going to get some respect put on his name because he's going to win. Kyrie, same thing. And now, I mean, I don't know. They're not saying anything about Harden. I haven't heard another thing. Like, is the guy coming back to series? Is the hamstring in five pieces? I have no clue. Kyrie's ankle was gross. That ankle bent so bad, the ball of his ankle hit the floor. Like, his whole foot, his foot went parallel to the floor, or perpendicular, whatever it is. Bent at like a 90-degree angle. It was gross. Quite frankly, Giannis should have got a flagrant foul for that. You're supposed to allow the people to come down in a clear landing zone. It wasn't intentional, but that's a flagrant foul. Like, all the other crap they call, that's a flagrant. Giannis, by the way, if he could shoot free throws, I'd feel better about it. He shot 50% the other day, which is higher than the rest of the playoffs. He is just, when he decides he's going to score, going to the lane, it does not matter. He was going by Griffin. They had that little 3-2 zone for a while there. He just puts his shoulder down and goes. He is so ridiculously athletic and talented around the rim. It's nuts.
I have a question about the Giannis card because I was looking it up.
It's called Giannis or Giannis. It's not Giannis.
So Giannis's card is doing right now about $1,700.
What are we talking
his
about?
This is his rookie card, the base Panini Prism 2013.
Prism base PSA 10.
Okay.
So doing $1,700 at the height of it. It was $7,000 a year ago.
A little over $7,000.
Yep.
So we're going to talk a little bit more about this when we get to that report.
From Why don't we get
letter.
To it now?
You want to just jump right into the card letter?
That's
report?
Enough. I mean, no one cares to hear me break down basketball.
So let's just go ahead and jump into a little bit. So we'll get back to baseball here in a few minutes.
Sure.
The Card Ladder put out a report, what was it, a few days ago, back on June 10th. Bubble dip collapse correction. What are we in and how did we get here? I thought it was a very interesting report, but it talks a lot about base. Yep. It talks a lot about how base right now has been so hyped, so blown up, that, of course, it had nowhere to go but down because it was basically unsustainable. I'm simplifying this, but that's the bottom line. And I'm looking back at Giannis and his card value. They talk a lot about how it got blown up over the last few months. You know, basically back in early 2021 when we saw things skyrocket.
2020 as well.
Well,
with him,
but yeah, it did.
You're right. 2021. Yep.
January, 2020. February. It was even higher. So my thinking is that accurate? Like, does that still stick to that same point? Because to me, I would think that it would have hit new highs in 2021, like say February, March or something. But the highest, it did much better back in August of last year.
Yeah, because people did what I did. They panicked when they saw a base card was selling for $7,000 and they sold it in August. Like, I sold my Giannis this past summer. I had two PSA 10s. I sold one for 63 and one for 71. Even back then, even when everybody thought base was like taking over the world, and it was like $7,000 for this card is insane. So everybody sold it. You know, I like the article. I'm trying to think of some of the specifics. Like, the basic point, like you said, is base got so, like, that was the thing that inflated the most out of anything. Like, all of a sudden, every card that was base, just you grade it, you get it back, it's worth 10, 20x, and people are coming in, and Gary V's posting pictures, like he said in there, of just, like, random base cards. You know, it couldn't sustain, and that's been the biggest part of the dip. Now, that's true. I guess here's my response to some of that. Some of the dips that have happened recently are weird to me. I did not think Kobe stuff would fall off and stay down like it has. Even relatively popular and like, not overproduced, but well-produced cards. I didn't think they'd stay down now. I didn't think we'd be in middle of June talking about Kobe Topps cards being cheap like they are. You know, another example, like the LeBron James card with a population of like 2,000-ish, the PSA 10 Topps Chrome. Yeah, this could, the article's like, yeah, it couldn't stay at 40,000. You know, 2,000 to me is not a crazy population for a LeBron rookie. I thought that card would come back. Now it's selling like 12 to 15, if that now. I mean, he's literally coming down all the time. But base in general had to come down, and it has.
And I think the point, though, too, that they make is that, yes, it has come down, but overall, right. Is it still higher than right. where it was prior to the
1,000%. Yeah, no question.
Happening. And so that would indicate we are not necessarily in a, it's not like the bubble bursting. We are right. just in a more of a correction.
Right, but it's a stiff correction. I mean, again, sure. I didn't think it'd be down like this. I thought this would be time stuff would start swinging back up. Now, the other thing the article talked about is a lot of super, like ultra high end stuff has not dipped and we're still seeing record highs. Again, I think what it tells you is there's really two different markets here. The ultra high end guys that are buying stuff mainly for PC and just want stuff. Not always true either, by the way, because Jordans were going for 700 plus. Now they're doing 2.5. That's a huge, I mean, $450,000 swing.
But weren't they doing 2.5 before?
I mean, for a long time, they were $100,000. So even that new floor, even the floor now is higher than the previous
yeah.
ceiling.
Okay.
No question. You know, it also kind of, and this was mentioned in there, I don't know who wrote this, Chris or Christina. I didn't actually see who wrote it. You know, the other thing, it was like, well, it had been less than a year and already new people who were coming and throwing a lot of money at this realize, hey, we can't just come in and blindly throw money at stuff. It was a fast correction as opposed to other things. You see some stocks that do well for 2, 3, 4 years, and it's like people just come in, they throw money at certain areas and certain fields and spaces they have no knowledge about, and it takes years to correct. This thing corrected itself pretty quick.
Well, and they kind of pointed that out, too. They talked about how Tesla...
Yeah, I'm stealing that from them.
Okay. Well, and so basically you're seeing, we saw Tesla had a huge double, Bitcoin had a huge double, but they doubled, and now there have been corrections to both of sure. them. But none of them are collapsing. None of them are done for. It's the same with the card market. Yes, they like everything with the card market went insane. And yep. now it's correcting. But it doesn't mean that it's collapsing.
I also don't think it means we won't see other spikes that have no logical reason. Base took off for months and did this. And it was insane. Regardless of population. Regardless of hobbyists telling you it shouldn't be this way. You know, no logic behind it, but it went like that. So everything's really down now. Base is the devil. Everybody hates it. In like 6 months, if something weird happens, or 3 months, if like influencers all of a sudden start posting pictures or stuff happens at nationals and guys get really excited about stuff, you mean to tell me that couldn't happen again? Yeah. Like that Giannis card, I don't think should ever be $7,000. But if it popped up to like $6,000 again, just off some random hype machine, would I be shocked? No, it happened for no reason in the first place. And we're still seeing new people come into the hobby.
Exactly.
That has been the one constant thing. It's almost like people yeah. feel like, well, everybody just got burned and they sold and left. Most people who came into it bought it and are not selling at low prices because they don't want to take a loss right now. They're kind of just using this as a time to kind of learn their way around and doing the research now they should have done then. But a lot of people didn't come in and buy one card, get burned because they bought in February, sell it, and they're gone. I'm sure that happened to some. Most people, it didn't. I mean, a lot of people at the show we went to, people were talking about this past Dallas show. There's still a lot of new people coming in. So I'm not telling you all of a sudden everything's going to take off like it did, but I'm also not to the point where I'm just cutting ties and just selling everything off to be done with it. And I'm fairly base heavy. I mean, I've got like 50 plus of those Durants. Like, I'm not just dumping those. All my job base PSA 10s are just sitting in a box. I'm not bringing them to shows. I'm not doing anything with them. I'm going to see what they do next year. Because as much fun as it is to say like everything's, you know, the Card Ladder report made it, not to just steal all their thoughts, but to give them credit, it's like, you know, one thing we need is people to stop saying this is the end of the world. It would be nice. Like the guys who have been bitter, because here's the other
thing. They've got loud voices, they point out, and it's true. The guys who think it's the end of the world start shouting sure. and then start scaring the market, but it's also a minority of people doing that.
Yeah, this is the same situation, though. A lot of these guys were the same people who, when things started going crazy and everybody made money, oh, this ruined the hobby. The hobby's far from ruined now. It's stronger than any other time in the history, aside from the past, call it 8 months. But those were the same guys who were mad then because they missed the train, didn't make any money. They're mad now because they know it's all like that window of just buying everything and selling it for profit is done. Sorry. One thing that is tough, though, and that Card Ladder report didn't talk a lot about this, is grading used to play such a significant role in this. Hey, rip this box, rip this whatever, get your base, grade it fast with PSA, you get it back, you're selling, you're making money. Well, that's not an option. Turnaround times and cost have really eliminated a lot of those spaces where people were making like sure money. So a lot's changed. And I don't think that the grading price is all of a sudden going to come down because people aren't using it as much. Like I think there's going to be if it ever comes down, it's not anytime soon, I don't think.
I would honestly be surprised if PSA doesn't lower prices when they come back out.
Oh, I'd be shocked if they did. Why would you? They're still going to have a huge backlog. Like, what's the... And you know how many guys are holding cards, like, waiting to send them in?
I feel like at this point, yes, that is correct. But I think that they also see that there's a little bit of a lull in the market. And they want to continue to boost it. Because this isn't, like, a short-term play. They want to see this thing go for the distance. They want to see it go for years and years to come. Obviously, that's why Nat Turner put so many hundreds of millions of dollars into that business. I think you give it an incentive to go ahead and boost it back up, get cards in, and then make sure that lull doesn't continue.
But to me, the only thing lower prices incentivize are sending in base again, which is what they kind of were trying to slow down. And what the market is telling you now is not valued like it was a few months ago.
Well, that's my point. I think they want to, they say they want to slow that down because they're overwhelmed, but at the same time, they don't want to turn away business. I'm thinking of it from a purely business perspective. It makes more sense for them to want guys to send those cards in than for them not to, even if it does put them behind.
Yeah, I mean, you could be right. I also think they're just so far behind still, it's not going to matter. I just would be shocked if anything changes. But I thought it was a good report by Card. Yeah, it was interesting. Like, hey, just chill out. Again,
yeah.
Same thing. There's no reason to crazy overreact. And if you want to cut your losses right now, too, I'm not going to tell you not to. Like, go nuts. I've taken losses on stuff before. Right now, I'm not, just because I feel like a lot of the stuff I'm in, even if it's at a loss from where I bought it at, you know, I'm not just going to start dumping Kobe and LeBron rookies or Durant rookies. I'll take my chances.
Well, and for a lot of that stuff, even if you bought it, you know, there's only really a window of time where you may have gotten.
Yeah, if you bought in the last 10 months or so, you could be in a rough spot over these last 3 or 4 months. No question.
Even less than that. Like some of those cards, you know, some of that vintage stuff was what, like $50? Like for, what was it? Emmitt Smith, like PSA 9 or something. I remember I bought.
Sure.
Was like $50 back in January. We bought it. And then it spiked up to what, 100 or
yep.
150 or whatever it was. But now it's back down to 50. I mean.
Right. So you're not upside down in it.
Yeah. There are some of these guys who, yeah, they may have bought in that really bad window of like February, March. But if you bought before or after that, you're probably not doing too terrible.
Yeah. There's some weird cards. Like some of the cards in my collection right now that I'm confused about. Like I've got a Walter Payton PSA 9 rookie. I paid like $8,000 for that. At the time it was doing like 10. I'm shocked that card can be had right now for like $6,000. That to me is a weird card. But I was heavy on vintage football because I thought, hey, this stuff is just so undervalued. It's never taken a crazy spike. I thought that stuff was, but it's Walter Payton. I'm not selling it anyways at a loss. So yeah, it's just different.
I think bottom line is like you said, more and more guys are getting into this hobby and they're continuing to educate themselves now during the education process. They probably should have done earlier, but they, you know, there's so much money to be made. No one was really thinking, oh, should I be buying this many base cards? You know, there wasn't as much care given at that time.
What is the deal with the base cards?
So,
host Jesse, take it away.
Let's go to Indy's email about some baseball MLB report. Did you look at this?
Yeah, I had it up, but now I don't. So, but I'm the co-host. I'm just here to support you. So,
let me talk about baseball cards. Yep. The RBI stands for record bats. In, got it.
Yep.
All right. So,
do you know what RBI stands for? For real?
Run. I did right before I messed it up. Runs batted. Oh God, no. Maybe I
two
don't.
For three.
I,
runs batted I, in. Yeah, you're doing great.
No.
This is your coming
don't
out.
Tell
part.
Me. Don't
this
tell
is
me what it is.
Your coming out party as a host. You're doing great.
I
said
joked
it
around
like twice.
Runs batted in was right.
Yeah, you got it. You killed it.
Oh man.
Get this man a show, Bill. What are we doing here?
MLB report. Let's start with Jazz Chisholm what? So we're looking at is 2017 Bowman Chrome Auto.
That's his first prospect auto. Yep.
Yeah. I said 2017 PSA 10. Yeah. So selling for about 150, 155 back in March. Again, this is where some of these cards, it's not affecting everybody. His cards recently have been selling for 270 to 325.
Right. So that's an autograph too. That's not just your running in sure. base. And he's played really well for the Marlins. That's still not a bad buy at 275. If the kid keeps playing well.
8 home runs, 22 RBIs.
Batting like 290-ish, right? 280?
281.
281. Okay. Yeah. I mean, he's played well. He was a big time guy in the Diamondbacks organization before he got traded over to the Marlins. So yeah, I like him. Solid kid. What does Indy say? What's his breakdown on that? Indy gives us some of his insight.
That was the analysis that he gave us pricing. So that was all he had for that card. All right. Unless you have any other points, I think that's honestly, do you think that's too high though? Like, do you think there's much more room for him to run?
Yeah, PSA 10 for a Bowman Chrome, for a Bowman prospect first auto, that's not a huge price. $300 for PSA 10 is very, very minuscule.
For an auto.
I mean, Wander's doing like $3,000. Otani's probably doing more than that.
But is he worth the same? Like, as far as his talent level goes?
He's not on their level, but I also don't think he's 10% of their level. So it's not a bad buy. Yeah. Jazz, I mean, he was highly sought after when he first came out. Yep. It's a good one.
Okay. Otani's next. We've got 2018 Bowman Chrome Auto.
Right. So this is actually his first Bowman Auto from 2018 Bowman. It was a short print, too. It's the pitching pose.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. There's only 45.
Yeah, that's a short print auto.
We've got another Otani, though.
Right.
But
what's that one?
Look at that one?
What's that one selling for? Like
$3,500, which is slightly down from $3,550 back in April. So not too terrible.
Yeah.
Less than $100.
I mean, the way he's playing, though, it's insane. I mean, his stats are still nuts. Here's the only issue I have with Otani. He plays for the Angels. The Angels' record right now, well, actually, they're a game over 500. That's better. They're on an eight. They've won 8 out of their last 10, 6 in a row. Is Mike Trout playing right now, by the way? Ronick, do you know this? Is Mike Trout healthy right now? Is he still out?
He is still out.
It's amazing to me. The only time the Angels go on any sort of a win streak is when Mike Trout's out. Trout's another guy. I just don't feel like anything. He is the best player of this generation, no question. I don't know that he contributes any winning on that team because they've never won with him. Ronick, give me your thoughts here. You're a baseball guy.
Yeah, I think baseball is kind of a tough sport because it's a team sport, but it's an individual sport. So I think he can be only so great, but it's not like a sport like basketball where like
one guy takes over.
Yeah. Yeah. Like LeBron influences the entire team. Like the entire defense shapes themselves around him. The entire offense shapes themselves around him. And then Trout can just be a great player, but if the team has no pitching, they're screwed.
How are they this bad all the time with him though? Like by pure chance, you would have thought they'd make the playoffs one of these years.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's kind of a failure. They're like a 500 team with him, and then without him, they'd be like a last place team pretty much every year.
But 8-2 without him. Otani leading him to the promised land.
Is this a coaching thing or the individual players?
Obviously the manager's useless out there. If you don't make the playoffs like 10, 12 years in a row in the MLB, it's pretty rough. I don't know. They have a massive payroll. I mean, it's just weird to me. And I'm not taking a real shot at Trout. Again, generational talent, best of his time, no question. All-time great, sure. It's just funny, though. It is weird to me. And this is an 8 out of 10 game sample. It's not like this is news, but I don't know. But with Otani, I mean, that kid can play. It's weird. Pitching, hitting, I don't think that's a bad card to buy either. And I'm not saying buy that for $3,300 and just like expect to flip it next week. But if the Angels get into the playoff conversation, it gets weird.
Let's talk about the other Otani card on here, the Topps Chrome Base. So that card, current value is about $230.
As a PSA 10?
As a PSA 10.
See, base I'm not messing with. I just, the prevailing sentiment.
Again, I don't think base is dead. I think it's just coming back down from where, like, it was unreasonably high. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't mean that there's not value there and money to be made.
I'm just not buying in because I think it's still in the downward trend. I would rather buy when things are already starting to climb up as opposed to, hey, is this the bottom? We're getting toward the bottom. Buy now.
Yeah.
And then it drops again.
You don't want to guess the bottom. You want to know you're coming off the bottom.
That's what I would think. Yeah, that's me.
Well, in this case, this card is not at the bottom.
Speaking of jumping, ETH up to 25.75 now. Nice.
Tell me when it's 26. That's what I'm looking for.
I spent quite a bit of money on this weekend, actually.
I'm very happy for you. I haven't spent anything.
Pretty heavy again.
Let it be known, Bill, when you come back on the show, it wasn't
Bill,
me.
Time to find a reply. This is brutal. No energy. I'm sorry. I don't know what my problem is. The food. It's the food, man.
That's your first problem. You didn't have that Bubba Grande. Go get that burrito. Are they giving you free Bubba Grandes for all these Bubba Grande mentions?
If you say Bubba Grande. All right, Ronick, your turn. You host.
Wait. The Ohtani. All right. 1 month of growth. It's up almost 9% over the last month.
The Topps Chrome.
This is the Topps Chrome Ohtani card.
Sure.
2018. Sure. It is up 684% in the last 6 months. This card was selling at $29.
That's insane.
And I'm just saying, like, if anybody, I mean, Ohtani has seen his swings up and down, but this base card is not on the downward trend.
Yeah, I'd be curious what it's done the last 3 weeks, though. 2 weeks. That's where I kind of, you know, that's where I'm kind of like, I don't know that you need to tie up money in it. You can get autos, though. You can get non-Bowman autos of his for a couple $100. I would do that instead. Buy something limited.
So buy limited, don't go base for any, you don't think anybody really should be going base right now.
Right now, the only guys I'm buying base of would be guys in the playoffs if I'm high on their team. Spider Mitchell, if you think Utah's going to make a run, do it. I think Utah's coming out of the West. I really do. And quite frankly, I think they may win the championship if the Nets aren't healthy, and it doesn't look like they're going to be healthy. I think Mitchell's the number one guy to buy. If you don't like that one, you can get Booker. I just stay away from the Prism. I mean, there's plenty of places to spend money and buy base, but even Ben Simmons is down from his career highs. Is down from his hobby highs, I should say.
So, just so you know, the Ohtani...
Has it been 45 minutes?
The Ohtani was doing about 330 about 3 weeks ago.
That's what I mean.
But I mean, there was some weird fluctuations there.
So 6 month growth is awesome. Now you break it down short term though. All of a sudden it's like, is 230 the bottom here? Or is that thing going back to $150?
Well, I mean, a month ago it was at 209. So it's at 255 now. A month ago,
if I'm buying any base in baseball, the one guy in baseball I would actually spend money on overproduce because it's a crazy high population would be the 2018 update Juan Soto PSA 10. Those cards were 350 before the season. Now, granted, people were high on base then. Base wasn't the devil. He also has not been healthy the entire season. He's been kind of quiet. If he goes on a run and that team goes on a run, those cards will... And they're right now, they're like $160 on eBay. Some of those are like $160 to $170. That could easily hit 250 again. So not its all-time high. But you could see a good return with Soto. I don't think that's a bad card to chase because I think Soto's got one of the most legit bats in the majors. And he just hasn't put it together. It's been like a perfect storm of negativity. Injured, not playing great, base on the decline anyways. So that's not a bad card to buy.
Well, I got bad news for you. Most of the other cards we're going to talk about are base cards. So I think we move on to the Jacob DeGrom card, though.
I do want to talk about him because DeGrom is pitching out of his mind. When a pitcher starts getting talked about as MVP... He's doing something right.
You were never a big fan of buying pitchers, though, right?
I still am not a huge fan. I'm almost getting ready to rethink it with DeGrom because this is the type of thing a pitcher has to do to get some serious hobby recognition. Like, have a seat. This is a Pedro-like season, not just best pitcher in the
Pedro,
league.
Pedro, like from Napoleon Dynamite?
He ran for president. People got excited about it. You know, he was a good kid, had a cowboy hat. What is his IMDb? What else? Let's talk about other movies that guy's been in. Because that's
his head was too hot.
Yeah, let's go rewatchable style. We're just going to break down all of his on-screen performances. Yeah, but that's what it takes for a pitcher to really make a jump in today's hobby game. Because nobody believes in pitchers long-term. What do you have there? Because he's ridiculous.
The analysis that we do have for this card.
Break it down.
DeGrom has the lowest ERA through 10 starts of any pitcher in MLB history.
What is it? It's like 0.6.
It doesn't say. I just know it's the lowest.
It's ridiculous. Okay.
DeGrom has
the 0.6.
He has given up 4 total runs all season and has 5 RBIs.
He's scored more runs than he's given up as a hitter over there. It's ridiculous.
That's kind of insane. The value of his PSA 10 update rookie is $774, which is up 29%. From 2 weeks ago, 38% over a month and over 1,000% increase over a year ago.
I'm not surprised. I'm actually a little surprised it's only up 10x because it's a pitcher. That's crazy. They are in first place in the NL East. They're 3 games up. They're 7 games above 500. The Mets are playing fairly well, and they've had some injuries. I mean, that's another guy, though, gets weird. He goes on a run where he's like Cy Young, MVP. They get in the playoffs. Who knows if they get on a run and wake to the World Series? You know, I don't ever advise buying pitchers, because that's the tough thing about him. He could do this all season, and then all of a sudden at the end, he one pitch comes off the arm wrong, and it's like, oh, elbow popped, Tommy John, done for a year and a half. Obviously, that's an extreme example, but that's why I just don't trust pitchers. If you're going to buy a pitcher, though, there's plenty of guys right now. Look at his numbers. Plenty of guys are buying DeGrom. It's probably not a bad idea. He's ridiculous.
Kind of a hypothetical question, because I don't think this would probably happen, but what happens if he performs this well and retires from the game of baseball?
He's
young. I don't think it would happen, but does his card value stay up? Like, he never got injured, he went out on top?
No, because I think that's another tough thing, too. Like, when you retire in that sport, it's not like other sports. Like, if you retire as a pitcher, I don't think there's, like, this big rush to go get your stuff. So, no, I don't think that would be like, oh, we're going to lock him in. But I also don't think if he keeps playing well, his stuff's not going to come down 1,000% either. Like, I think he's going to stay, you know, he's going to set a new floor for his stuff.
This is probably one of those cards a lot of guys just have in that base.
Dude, you know, I bet a bunch of guys have DeGrom stuff. Because if that card is doing that kind of money, every DeGrom rookie's probably selling really well. That's a great example of a card most guys probably, or not that particular card, but there's probably 15 other variations of his rookies that guys never wasted time grading.
Yeah, there's about 1,100 PSA 10s out there. So
that's a pretty decent pop, actually. I'm surprised. But he probably has a bunch of other rookie stuff. Like, you probably have money sitting in a box, you even know it. I had no idea the stuff was that high, because I don't follow the Mets at all. I haven't been watching baseball yet either.
Well, if we want to make some time for mailbag, yeah, we got a lot of other guys on here, but that's the bottom line. But actually, bottom line is this. Most of these guys, Bo Bichette, Mookie Betts, Rafael Devers, Tim Anderson. Actually, not Mookie Betts. Mookie Betts is down. But the rest of them I mentioned, these guys are mostly up. Just something to think about for baseball guys out there wanting to make a little money on base. So
thinking a lot about it. Also, we're starting to see call-ups pretty regular. So if you're in that prospect game, now's the time. I think the best time to sell a prospect, by the way, if they get hype. I like selling highly hyped up prospects right as they get called up. Used to be I would wait until they actually came to the majors because there'd be a price jump. I think we've seen recently guys come up like as they're called up, the week of the call up, even before, just when there's news they're getting called up. Seems like those have been the price spikes higher than at any other time. So
what is this Cam Newton, Mac Jones thing?
Oh yeah, Cam was healthy. Cam was back at practice. He missed a little time. He bruised his hand or did something. He smashed his hand on a helmet last week of practice. Guys are really high on Mac Jones. I wish I was. I don't think he's playing this year. I could be completely wrong. I think Cam Newton's going to play, and I think his card values are actually going to move.
I figure with all the hype, he'd be getting some play time.
Belichick hates rookies. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Is Kevin Clark here? The analyst, not the actor. Obviously. Just cut the feed. I'm done. How long has it been? You have a couple questions.
Don't we have some new releases though?
Impeccable basketball. Tie ends, pretty nice. I like the silver cards. Done.
I hate you. Who thinks the last three? Ever since Mike got a meatball in his mouth, he's just really.
I miss my mom. I didn't drop her at the airport. I dropped them both Saturday.
Get one of the dogs in your lap for the next episode. Just let him sit there, and I know you'll
one of the dogs,
right,
right before we hit record, I heard footsteps outside of my door, which they're not supposed to be upstairs. I went downstairs. They had politely slid the shock pads to the side just nudged the gate open. Wicked smart dogs. It's ridiculous.
Well,
I need some
food. All right.
This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on Hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids' session with exercise,
gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there, just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier, thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive, or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app.
This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com.
Let's go to mailbag because we got quite a few. I want to start with our, someone gave a little quiz bowl question in here.
I like this one.
David Brock. So here's what he did. He gave two players.
Fun story behind this. Me and my brother Russ used to do this. I would call him up, be like, hey, 495 career home runs, 325 average National League. Who is it? We have this little game back and forth.
Do it to me real quick. Let me guess.
Yeah. Okay. We're good. Yeah.
Player. So David Brock gave us a player A, this player, is like a B player scenario. Okay. Yep. So let me give just a few of the stats. He gave a lot of stats, but let me just give a few. So player A, career stats. This is, we're talking basketball.
Can be points, rebounds, assists, and that's
all right.
Go.
All right. 19.2 points.
Yep.
Assists, 9.3. Ooh. Rebounds, 3.6. All right.
Okay. And you have the answer. I told David, I was like, you better give this kid the answer because I want to know.
I have the answer.
So 19 and 9. So this is obviously a point guard. What's a field goal percentage?
Field goal, 29%.
Oh,
29%. That's player A.
Okay.
Moving on. I hope everybody at home is listening.
Player B.
Player B, 18.3 points per game, 9.4 assists, 4.5 rebounds.
Field goal percentage?
47. No. 37. Oh. 37.
That's field goal percentage, not 3-point.
Field goal is 3. Yes, 37.
All right, I got a couple names.
Hang on. Let me just make sure. Correction. 47 for player B, 45.
Okay, for much player higher.
A. Yes. Sorry.
Is one of them. Okay, Chris Paul sounds like one
do
of
you,
them.
How do you?
Has to, right. Well, point guards, and Chris Paul's real relevant right now. Wasn't much of a stretch.
Okay.
Because I'm thinking, I don't know this David guy, but I'm going to go ahead and guess. This was like his way of telling me Chris Paul's an all-time great. So who's the other one? Which one was Chris Paul, by the way? A or B?
Which one do you think is the better person?
I mean, they're the same. I have no interest.
Chris Paul is B.
Okay, so player A has got to be a guy it's got to be a guy I historically would think is much better. And I am always on the soapbox about Isaiah Thomas. It has to be Isaiah.
I feel like you knew the answers. I feel like you knew the answers.
Once I got the assist, though, it was all over.
Isaiah Thomas is player A.
Yeah, because here's the thing. B. Okay, Isaiah played in the East in the 80s and early 90s. Yes. Isaiah has rings. Far better player overall than Chris Paul.
Okay.
I knew it was going to be one of these, though. This isn't a stat thing. I'm actually not that great with stats, but you go nine assists. Obviously, we're talking about point guards. Chris Paul, legendary, really relevant. Because people have been saying this now, too. If he wins a ring, all of a sudden he's like the second best. Magic is the best point guard of all time. But if you listen to Michael, Magic, and Larry, they will tell you Isaiah is the best point guard, not named Magic, of all time.
I think David Brock makes an interesting point because he also has a comment for you. He says
I didn't see the comment. What's the comment?
No. Oh, so you saw the answers is what you're telling me? Did you cheat? Isaiah won a lot of games in his era.
Yep.
But
which was a dominant era in the East. Okay.
When the depth of talent was terrible and coaching was so primitive that they couldn't take advantage of his inability to shoot outside 15 feet.
Oh, boy.
He would be severely limited in today's NBA at his size if he didn't dramatically improve his shooting.
Okay, that's a fair point. But if he was raised around the game today, he would be raised a shooter. So I don't know what a shooting percentage and shooting skill would look like today. That's like saying if we put today's LeBron James in the 80s, he would be terrible because he's not physical enough. If a guy of like LeBron's size was raised in the 80s playing physical, he would be even more dominant because he would beat the crap out of everybody. His point is right in a vacuum, but that's not the case. If Isaiah played today, he would have been raised around this culture. Steph Curry, the shooting culture, it would be totally different. I'm just telling you, Isaiah's peak, to me, Isaiah's ceiling is still higher than Chris Paul, and he performed great against great teams in big moments. I've yet to see Chris Paul do that because he's never been in the finals. I said this yesterday on Clubhouse in a room, though. If Chris Paul wins a ring this year, and you want to tell me maybe he's ahead of John Stockton, you could have that conversation. But to me, and I'm useless and I have a sports card show, I'm not supposed to talk. Thank God we're not going to YouTube either. Those vomits. Why is he talking
they
about?
They would murder
to
you.
Me, it's in order. Magic, Isaiah, Steph, Stockton. I would put Chris Paul 5. Big O is weird. You know, Oscar's tough. Such a different game back then. If you want to argue Oscar's top 5, it's fine. Guy averaged a triple-double. But Isaiah, to me, is the one guy who always gets overlooked by fans. Never overlooked when you talk to guys who played with him. I mean, when Bird tells you he's the best point guard he played in the East, better than anybody not named Magic, it's tough. I mean, come on.
Okay. Well, he was he was just asking you for it's a good question. Respect you know what? For Chris Paul. I feel like you gave a little respect. I don't think it was a lot.
Here's the tough thing. I talked about this the other day, too. It's not that I don't respect Chris Paul. Chris Paul is great, right?
He needs rings. You've always said that.
Here's what's tough about it, though. I think he's like the 5th best point guard of all time. Nobody with a brain is going to argue he's worse than 6, 7, 8 all time. But then people always want to say, well, Chris Paul's underrated. He's properly rated. If you're a top 5, top 7 guy all time, you're not underrated. I mean, the guy is there. He has never been to a finals. How high can he be in that sport without ever making a finals? He's properly rated. Win some games in the finals, and then we'll talk about bumping you up.
There's that passion I've been looking for. This whole episode, I've been looking for that.
Here's the challenge. By the way, we should have started right now. The energy is garbage. Our listenership in this episode is going to be just vomit.
Speak for yourself.
David, I would like to challenge David. I want another one of those next week. One a week. Ooh. Not per show, one a week. I like that. That was a good one by David.
All right. Anybody else want to throw something similar?
Make sure you like, subscribe, and listen. No, that was
a good
question.
I like
that.
That's the end of the show.
It could be. A couple questions and we're done. Let's go.
We got a couple others. Joe Vargas. I'm sorry. We already did the Joker question, Joe, but thank you for submitting. Rob Galvez wants to know, Donovan Mitchell, Spida, buy, sell, hold.
I'm buying. Yeah, I think Mitchell's good. And he is one of the few guys I would actually buy his base. I just have this horrible feeling. Plus, I've been getting murdered in every investment I've made lately.
That's
anyways in the NBA.
Really true.
Durant's going to get beat. They're going to lose like the next 2 to the Bucks because no one's healthy. So all my Durant money is going to get tied up for another 6 months to a year. And if that happens, I think Utah is spread out enough. Conley, Spida, I think they're a lot like the Suns in that respect. Elite wing scorer, great true traditional point guard. Chris Paul's better than Conley, but Conley is very good. And then Rudy Gobert and Ayton. Ayton is better offensively, but Gobert is so much better defensively. I just think it's such a spread out team. I think that team matches up really well against anybody. If they can get past the Clippers, I think the Clippers are the toughest matchup. So I'm buying Spida.
I would say, I think at this point, Utah goes all the way. I'm just going to go ahead and say that.
I could see that.
I'm going to say,
because I mean, it's either going to be Philly. I think it's Philly or Milwaukee coming out of the East. Embiid is not going to do that against Gobert. Gobert is so good defensively. That's a real tough, and Embiid's going to need to score 30 a game for them to win. And then even against Giannis, he's not going to cover Giannis, but he can protect the rim some against him.
I think Dan from What's Inside needs a win, and this is it.
Yeah, Dan is struggling. I saw the guy the other day in the fastest road Tesla of all time. Saw the new house a few months ago.
The win.
Dan needs a win. He's cutting open packs of cards worth more than my vehicle. I mean, yeah, he needs a win. I like Dan.
Joel Brand has a question for us.
Sure he does.
Sports Cards Nonsense follows Zack Snyder on Twitter. What's the story there?
I don't know who Zack Snyder is. So
okay, so then that would have been me. I was like, I don't remember 100% us talking about. He's the guy who filmed like Justice League and like Superman and stuff.
He's a
like
director,
that.
Right?
Yes, exactly.
A writer, director. Something.
Did you follow him? Because if you didn't, then I definitely did. But I
does think he follow the, us? So if he has a blue check mark and he followed us, I would follow him back. Otherwise, no. I don't know who he is.
No, I think the answer there is sometimes when I am commenting or following for my personal Twitter account, I forget which account I'm on, and I do it from the Sports Cards Nonsense
account. For the listeners too, me, Jesse, and Indy all have access to all the socials. To Twitter and Instagram.
Yes.
So it just depends. You can usually tell who's doing it, but
if there's a grammatical error.
Me, always.
Well, Indy's doing
If it's
a lot
like
better.
A really well thought out thing, it's Indy, like with actual sports research. If it's something off the
if
wall
it's
like
a
that,
joke
it's
just, or nonsense, yeah, it's probably.
Yeah, me. If it's a random video of me playing with my dogs, I just saw it. I didn't even know you could scroll to the side. You donkey.
Oh my goodness.
I had no clue. Hannah was like, what is this? I was like, I don't know.
It's
I'm laying
good.
On the floor like an idiot.
I'll tell you what it is. It's content.
Look, see, that we're going to do that same video in a month. I'm going to be down 20 pounds, feeling great about it.
You look great, buddy. Don't even.
Stay in lane. What's next?
All right. Jason Peck wants to know, are you watching Euro 2020?
I love this question.
One and of the why is the answer no?
Yeah, correct. No, I don't care about soccer. It's just me. Plenty of people do. I don't care.
I want to watch. I want to watch. Don't. But here's the thing. I think it can be best summed up in the experience I had watching a Bruins game with you and your stepdad, Jack, the other night. I had about 100 questions. And that's with a sport that's in very popular in the country I live in. Soccer, granted, it's very much growing in popularity, but it is not anything I've ever had experience with. I need someone there to ask about 100 questions
Here's
to
what
while
we do.
I watch. That's what I need.
We watch the Green Machine. There's a big green.
With the big green? With the Hammond ball from yep. Sandlot? You
Hannah
know I'm
text,
in, baby.
Hannah just texted me. Thanks for telling me you turned the scat map back on. I forgot after this little episode with the dog coming up here.
Did
she
just get electrocuted?
Yeah, see, we leave those things off. It's great. They're tricked. And then I step on it. You don't have to worry. Yeah, whoops. Oh, thought she was going to come busting in here.
That would have been
my
great.
Fault. It'll be a good afternoon.
Thanks, Hannah. All right.
Do a couple more. Yeah. After my performance today, the least we can do is at least throw some content.
We're under an hour, and I know that was the goal.
I'm not even mad at anything
happen.
Today. That's the other thing. I'm not even upset about anything today. If I'm upset, I'm passionate. I have nothing to yell about.
That's the problem. You need more calories and you need to...
I should have watched that, more YouTube.
You know what you need? That Bubba Grande.
Move along.
All right. Move. Ian Babcock.
Plus, you and your family blew me off yesterday. That was aggravating.
My aunt was up. You know what you could have done? You could have come over and hung out with my aunt and we had a nice vegetarian meal.
It went from you guys inviting me, my wife, and my parents over to nobody got invited over because they weren't in town. And then, oh, my wife cooked a meal. Sorry. Not, oh, she cooked a meal. Come on over and hang out. Not come hang out after the meal.
I invited you and your parents. And when you said they were already going out of town, you never followed up with a, hey, let's hang out. So my wife proceeded to be like, oh, yeah, Aunt Susie's still in town. Let's invite her over.
I think you probably knew they were leaving Saturday. You're like, hey, here's a great idea. Let me throw an invite Sunday, which is a hollow invite. When she says no, I can blow off the other two.
That's a really good idea.
Hang out with your supposed aunt.
I Please. Swear.
It's funny.
That
I just think it's
come
funny.
To me until after it happened.
Didn't get an invite to like after hang out. No, it's no problem. I don't care. I know how your wife feels.
Are we house. Not hanging out constantly this coming week? This Friday and then I think this Saturday too, probably?
Friday, I schedule it. Friday at 8:00 Central Time, we will be live on Whatnot. I've got some wax, I've got some singles. I don't know how to use the site yet.
We got an email while we've been recording from Whatnot. They want to call us and make sure we know how to use it.
Tell them to call us right now. I want it on the air.
All right, we're going to go on to the next question. Ian Babcock.
Sorry, co-host don't suggest things. My fault.
Thank you for knowing your place. What are your top three unlicensed products to buy and rip?
Unlicensed? Interest. For me, there's two big ones. I love Flawless Baseball. There's a couple behind me. No logo, no licensing. I think Flawless Baseball is amazing. You'll never convince me it's not. But Panini has no baseball licensing. And by the way, when I say that, guys, just in case, I know we have some novice guys who don't know, it just means you will see like Mike Trout in a red and white jersey. It'll have a number. It will not say Trout or Angels on it.
Oh, it doesn't say their name?
It may say the name. I take that back. But it won't have the team logo. Years ago, Panini was lazy. And it was like you would have literally the whole shirt, like a whole shot of the guy. And they would Photoshop out the name. It looked dumb. Now they just do it where they're like action shots. You can't tell nearly as much. And I just think the Flawless cards are awesome. That is far and away my number one. Number two, Leaf Trinity, any sport. Leaf Trinity patches are ridiculous. they look like a poor man's Flawless. They're super nice, fraction of the price. This year's Leaf Trinity League football is going to be ridiculous. One of the best products of the year. Leaf football is already selling really well, which is weird to me. And the other one, I'm torn on the other one. National Treasures Baseball, kind of for the same reason as Flawless, or Leaf Valiant Baseball. I take it back. Number three this year would be Leaf Valiant Football, because you get raw autos, Trevor Lawrence. Everybody has signed in Leaf this year. But then you also get one card graded a 9.5 or better in the box. And you can get black labels as well. So I do like that. I'm not a huge Leaf fan overall, but I do like those two for unlicensed. But Flawless Baseball is awesome.
Eric Hodge wants to know why it, we've kind of already talked about this. Why has Giannis Prism RC PSA 10 dropped value so much?
People hate base. Done.
We talked about that very well. Chris Brittingham, is there any way or any resources to figure out non-numbered short print runs? For example, Silvers, Zebra, Downtown.
You know, I don't think you get the odds on the box, like how many you'll get per box or per case. But I don't know how you actually put that into numerical terms.
You would have to then know how many cases, and I think that's what they don't really put out, is
yeah,
it?
Yeah, print run on cases are not really just published. Not on mass-produced stuff, at least.
Okay. So, bottom line is, there is no way to answer that question.
Like most things, we have no idea, Chris.
Well, but at least you don't have to keep searching anymore. You've come to the bottom line.
Now, sometimes you can actually find it like on Beckett or on Cardboard Connection. It'll say, hey, this is a short print. It's not numbered, but there were 50 produced. Some things will say that. Beckett Magazine might have that. They used to have it back in the day. I wouldn't use it for anything else. And Cardboard Connection is good with that.
I used to have a Beckett Magazine subscription. I just wanted to.
Yeah, it's interesting to me. For years, I never knew there was a Dr. Beckett, like the guy who started all that. And he's pretty
right. Doctor?
He calls himself that. I don't
know.
What
school did he go to?
Dr. Pepper was his running mate. So it's not a knock on the guy. I don't know who he is. He's obviously been very successful and impactful in the hobby.
Sure.
It's kind of funny to me, though. I've seen him making the rounds on podcasts. I think he has his own podcast, too. He doesn't come across all that arrogant. But some of the buildup some of these podcast hosts give this guy, 9 out of 10 people in the hobby today have no idea who he is.
He's a doctor of sports cards.
5 out of 10 people don't have any idea that Beckett is BGS until they actually look into it. And nobody buys a magazine anymore. And I don't even know if he still owns a company. I have no idea. I think he sold the company, I think. But I was listening to a podcast the other day, and they read this interview. Like, they were talking about Gandalf was going to come on this thing. It's like, you know, raised from the dead. I mean, he just did all. I was like, it had a good impact. Like, I don't know what we're. It's interesting to me, some of the buildups some of these guys get. No fault of his own.
On that note, we're excited to announce next Thursday, Dr. Beckett's coming on the show.
Yeah. Whoops. We don't have any guests this Thursday, do we?
We have a guest next Monday, which I figured out I was wrong about. Nat Turner is coming on next Monday, a week from today.
All right, here's the deal.
Here we go.
We need to keep the interview short. My interviewing skills are putrid. Some guys come on here. I'm not going to name names.
Yep.
It is the fault on the interviewer, which would be me. We got to keep on Monday. We keep this thing moving. I want to be like Jimmy from
Seinfeld.
No, I want to be like Jimmy from that thing you do. I quit. Just snap after like 2 minutes. Just keep it moving.
The movie references.
I have a couple questions for the guy. I want a little bit of a breakdown. He's another guy, Nat, which I think is cool. He's probably loaded out of his mind with money. He still has a ton of these podcasts. Good for him. You can hear him talk because a lot of guys have already kind of started asking, hey, you know, what about thoughts on this or the collecting? You can get all that stuff elsewhere. I want some concrete answers on PSA. That's what I would like from the show next Monday.
Well, and he's also going to be talking about the gentleman.
I want to know about gentlemen. I do not want a 30-minute interview.
That's fine. Here's my ask.
You got to help me with this because I'm brutal with this.
I am more than happy to cut in because I have learned the art of cutting in very well. You just start talking over them until they stop.
Yeah, but then you ask your dumb question. Okay, sir.
Anyway, no problem, bud. We're going to take care of it.
I'm glad he's coming on, but I'm an SGC person now anyways. So I would like to get Peter on to balance this out in July.
Not to say we don't use PSA for things, but yes, SGC.
Yeah, very rarely though, for high-end stuff. What else are you using for right now?
That's fair.
And I want to know what's happening in July. July 1st, what's opening up? If you have questions for Nat Turner that are relevant to the hobby, I don't want any of this nonsense. What's his favorite card? I don't care about that crap. if you have a relevant question to the grading scene, leave a comment on the show somewhere and we post it this afternoon, because I do want to see, like, hey, what do we actually ask this guy? I want some tangible answers. That is my responsibility.
Put them in the Facebook group, guys, or just post them anywhere.
They know
honestly
where to put it.
We're going to get it.
Move along. Next question.
Are we doing more questions?
There are two more than I'm done.
Are you going to buy any more Jaw this offseason?
My performance was such garbage. I feel like I have to at least give him some time. If you're going to be mediocre, it's like bad pizza. If it's going to be bad, I want like 10 boxes of it.
You're a strong believer in the quantity or quality, but you're not getting both.
No. And this is bad, though.
You're going to get that quantity, though.
I apologize. I just no energy today. This keto thing is kicking me in the face. I'll go till 3. I already have so much. If I wasn't already loaded up, I would buy this offseason. I'm loaded up on Ja. I'm not selling it this offseason. I think he makes a rebound next year.
Are you dollar cost averaging?
No, because I'm not buying new stuff.
Is he lower than what your low is?
Present PSA 10s are like 2.25 right now. That's probably about what I have. Here's the tough thing. I bought some of these in like $15,000 and $20,000 lots at cheap valuations and started selling a bunch when he was high. So I think I'm probably good on all these right now. But I don't think his price is now. I don't know how much lower he gets, because I think he's shown when he's healthy that kid's going to be good.
Okay.
Every answer. Okay.
Cool. Tubular. All right. Next question. Last question. Does Joker tank? This is from Brian Balaga Fanusith. Does Joker tank like that's his name. Does Joker tank like Giannis last year?
He's not going to tank any hard in this episode. It's going to tank our ratings. I'll tell you that. If that helps you.
Does he tank like Giannis last year versus Miami?
No, because his high has never been this high. So he's not. And he's come down with everybody else with his base stuff anyways. Off season, guy just won an MVP. He's like 26. I don't think anybody's worried like long term he's going to be a bust. I think he may drop another 10%-ish. But that's it. He's already down. I don't think he's going any lower.
Mailbag. That was it. Before we end the show, I want to give one quick shout out.
Please.
For the first time, because you forced me to listen to it, I listened to some of our previous episode.
Sure.
I really, honestly, I never listen to the shows. I can't stand hearing
these. It infuriates me.
I can't stand listening.
Because I try to critique you and you don't have any idea what I'm talking about.
I believe what you're saying, though. That's the good news.
That's fair.
Shout out to Ronick and any other of the production staff who really makes these things smooth, because when we record, there's a lot of talking over. There's a lot of things.
Almost like a real conversation. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and to his credit, he takes out the garbage and leaves in the good stuff.
Are you telling me you like Ronick better than Corey?
I never listened to Corey, so I don't know. I'll need to go back and listen to Corey.
Corey shut down the YouTube clip the other day pretty quick.
Corey's, a lot of power has gone to his head.
Here's the deal. Fair. Ronick's number one on my book. Corey, you know what? I'm glad he's gone.
Don't say that. I miss Corey.
Corey's isn't Corey in charge? Ronick, what does Corey do now? Is he like the overseer of production?
No, he's our manager. He's video manager now.
Oh, that's
he's the
what
czar.
Is yeah, the you throw title. Manager on top of anybody, but he's just pointing at people now. Ronick has, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 diabolical psychopath. How much has the power gone to his head?
I'm gonna honestly say 0. He is a very good
man.
Person. I'm not just saying.
Oh,
Corey
man.
Was nice.
He's. Ryan's already been corrupted.
My only knock on Corey, he never wanted to come on the show. Corey was not a fan of his own voice.
Well, we could get him. We got him on once or twice. We'll get him on again.
Is he calling in? Is he a surprise guest? Corey, are you there?
Guys, that was it for Monday's show. Thank you so much for listening.
I make this vow. We will be better on Thursday. Because today
you will
be
better. I can't get much better.
I had no... I'm telling you, it's just how it goes some days. You don't want to be here. I don't want to talk to you or anybody else. Not a you thing. I
no,
like you.
That's fair.
I like Ronick. You guys are great. When I shut off this podcast and I hit unrecord, or I stop recording, I don't want you to call me. I'm doing fine. I'm
doing fine. I'm not reading. I'm not going to make that joke. Never mind.
Yeah, I'm not in the corner reading Don't Kill Myself books. I'm doing just fine.
You made the joke.
I like it. You set it up and I knock it down for you. That's a teamwork.
Go read. Go rub your puppy's bellies and feel better, bud.
The puppies, by the way, are shaved it down for summertime. You should see. You haven't seen them yet. You gotta see. They look like little rats.
This is
they're
my
cute,
fault.
But dude, they're half the size.
I should have never mentioned it.
I'll go another 30 minutes on puppy talk. You want to say? You want to hear some energy? I'll give you energy right now. Puppy talk. I am breaking all day tomorrow. By the way, all day tomorrow day and night, and Wednesday, I will be breaking some finest, some absolute, both baseball. I've got some Leaf Ultimate Football. I've got a bunch of stuff. Eddie's taking a few days off because he's opening the shop or trying to open, getting ready to open the shop. So I will be breaking on the Facebook group,
Geo Breaks.
Aptly named after myself, Geo Breaks. Going to be some fun. I'm going to rip some cards.
I really hope the energy is about the same.
Speaking of breaks, I got a message last night from my buddy John Clancy. I like John. I got to give him a shout out. I don't ever promote other breakers because most are vomits. John's a good guy. He pulled a flawless dual patch auto of Brady, which was worth like $35,000 a month ago. I got a message last night. He's like, well, Tom is just in the room. His, I forget the name of his break room. It's like in the, D, it's his, he's in Detroit. So it's in the D, just the letter D collectibles, like in Detroit. Collect sports collectibles, break room, whatever. John Clancy pulled the 2 of 2 Brady auto out of Optic Contenders. He's like, hey, do you want this? I was like, this kid cannot miss.
Wait,
that's a big card.
What you're actively doing is promoting another break room. I've never heard this happen.
John's good people, and John spends money with us all the time.
Here's the bottom line. If you guys want to see some breaking in action, come hang out with us on the Whatnot app this Friday, 8 p.m. Central Time.
I'm going to give away some stuff, too. I've got free crap here. We've got merchandise. I've got some cards. Jesse's going to give away some money while he's sipping whiskey like an old man.
I disagree with that last part.
We have to work on the setup because my room is now set up as a podcast. It is not set up like a break room.
I'm going to be in that room. The cameras will more than likely, well, we could probably have one camera on us, but I think from what I've seen other guys do, it's just one camera set up and it's on the cards. It's not really on us, but you'll get to hear us. And that's what you're used to anyway.
We're going to do like an over the shoulder. Nobody cares about, I mean, no one wants to see those people. People want to see us.
No one wants to see the over the shoulder. Why would they want to see our shoulders?
No, like, excuse me, like in front, like a bird's eye view, not over the shoulder. It's going to be nice. They get to see us, get to see the cards, get to see the size comparison between us.
Bottom line is we don't know what it's going to be like, but it's going to be great. And we want you there.
I was saying something there. You jumped all over me.
Are you kidding me? You jump over everything I say.
Not easy being a co-host.
Get used to it. Count Chocula.
What is that from? All right, movie reference. Go. 31 all right. minutes.
Who's we can this, be done. Who's this podcast brought to you by?
I don't know. I'm done. I don't care.
Brought to you by The Ringer, powered by Spotify. Please.
Brought to you by The Ringer Podcast Network, powered by Spotify. But please listen to it anywhere you get your podcasts.
But specifically listen to it on Spotify and send us a review on there Apple Podcasts. There,
you love there pushing you those reviews.
5 stars, though.
This is what I'm going to end with. I have decided now I would like, I chased down my Tom Brady Bowman Chrome PSA 10. I've got two other on the list now. Obviously from the year 2000, Flair EX PSA 10 or Flair Showcase. It might be Flair Showcase. YouTube clowns will correct it. No, they won't. Corey doesn't put it out there.
You literally just said Flair and Flair. You did not distinguish.
It might be Flair. It might be Flair. I don't know.
You're saying the same
thing. So EX rookie PSA 10 or Showcase rookie PSA 10. The action shot where he's throwing the ball Showcase. I don't know what either one of those sell for. I know they're both north of 20 to 25. I mean, I think they're probably much more. They might be. I just have decided I'm buying or trading for, hopefully trade in cash. I want one of those by the time the National is done.
Look at you. Wow.
We'll be at Nationals all week. By the way.
Nationals all week.
So if you have one of those cards, email the show. I want to buy it from you. You can come on the podcast. Give me a discount. You can replace Jesse for a month. There you go. Perfect.
Month off, baby. Woo! Don't forget, guys, leave your questions and comments on our Facebook, YouTube, are we doing Instagram. This again? We never said it. We just said the podcast part. And Twitter. And we'll see you Thursday.
Yeah, Thursday, more energy, more mailbag. We're also, you know what we're going to do Thursday? We're going to mix it up at the end. Drop your mailbag questions and your show critiques. There you go. Show critiques. It's our halfway review. Please. Just about. I want to hear it.
Hey, and for the first time, I will say I saw a Mike Mafia post.
Was it my dad?
No.
and the people he works with?
It was Justin. Justin gave you a Mike Mafia post. So there you go.
I have a cousin named Justin. Was it him?
That was him.
Could have been. I haven't seen Justin in years. Just talked about him with my mom recently. Every time my mother comes down, I don't see her all the time. You get to Ronan, talk about
cut
family.
It. Cut it in the middle of that sentence.
We'll be
That's
back
how we
on
end the show.
Thursday. Jesse, thank you. Ronick, thank you.
Goodbye.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. When I went on my last holiday to Cape Town, it was amazing. My friends were there, the weather was phenomenal, and most importantly, the food was fantastic. But one thing I struggled with was finding the right places to stay. You know, all I want is a great bed, a fantastic shower, and breakfast that doesn't end at 8 a.m. I'm on holiday, I'm still sleeping. I also like ease, and the Hotels.com app easily helps me to find a perfect hotel for every trip. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly getaway or a relaxing spa weekend, on the Hotels.com app, you can compare up to 5 hotels side by side. Now, why would you want to do that? So you can see prices, amenities, and star ratings. And best of all, you don't have to switch back and forth between options. See? Ease. So, start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app today.